we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. We are now into the month of December. Burr, just the very name December sounds cold, doesn't it? And we've had to break out our jackets and long sleeve shirts here for a couple of weeks, and I happen to like this type of weather, the cooler weather. I like that better than, you know, 200 degrees Fahrenheit outside. I just prefer it to be a little bit cooler. But anyway, we are into December, and you know, this is the time of year when everybody says, you know, I think I need to go to Florida, because the rest of the country is just really, really cold. And so just let me give you an update. We have come through the Thanksgiving season. We've come through the wedding season of our lives personally. Our daughter got married back in the middle of November, and then had a week of family in, and still got some family in for several more weeks. We're going to be having a prolonged visit here, and that's good. But then we went into the Thanksgiving and the eating and all of that sort of stuff, and now we're here and we're ready for the holidays. So let me just tell you that the time frame between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year is as short as it can ever be. And so if you are used to procrastinating, and last year it was the longest stretch that it could be, this year it's the shortest stretch it could be. And so if you were planning on last year's time frame to get everything done this year, you need to accelerate that plan quite a bit. That means if you've got packages to ship to service people who may be deployed, you need to be planning on getting that in the mail sooner than rather than later. So all sorts of changing timelines and everything that we want you to get prepared for. So we've got our first Christmas celebration coming up later this week. My daughter and I are going to be going to that. So if you watch our Facebook video announcements, you'll notice that the Fritter sisters are no more, because one of the Fritter sisters got married and moved to the northern part of Florida. And but we are still moving forward. We're making adjustments in our ministry team to accommodate the void that was created by somebody getting married and moving up to North Florida. So we are really excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about what God is challenging me for in the coming year. And if you are listening to the program and you do not have a church home, we'd love to invite you to come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. There is lots of room for love, lots of room for growth and service for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. With that being said, we want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. And this is normally a slower time of year in the construction and the service industries, because people are gearing up for their holiday, their gift giving. You know, they're putting their indulgent spending into some other areas, such as buying gifts rather than doing some construction. So if your air conditioner or heater is needing some TLC, this would be a great time to call Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538. When there's not 18,000 people in front of you in line, you know, you can call and have them come out and make sure that your system is up and working. That way, when you need it, you have it. and you get to keep your cool. So 321-632-9538. If you'd like to call Wyrick Air and have them come out and take care of your air handling system or your electric needs, either one. Maybe you're putting up a bunch of Christmas lights and you don't have a plug on the outside of your house, and you say, you know what, I think I need a plug on the outside. They can help you with that. Give them a call, 321-632-9538, and you will be glad that you did. So, what do you want for Christmas? Last week, we celebrated Thanksgiving, where we were very thankful for everything that God has done for us. And then within a few hours of having turkey and the pre-Black Friday sales had kicked in, and everybody was out there angry with one another and fussing and feuding and fighting and trying to get that great value before anybody else could get it. And so we said, thank you for what we've got, but what we need is actually something more. What we've discovered around our house with the renovations that we did this year is we had more stuff than room for stuff. And our solution for that was to give a bunch of stuff away. Not so that we could make room for a bunch more stuff, but so that we, you know, if we don't need it, we need to be a blessing to somebody. That's really what our heart at Merit Assembly of God is to be a blessing. And so I kind of ask you that question, what do you want for Christmas this year? You may have legitimate needs in your life. And, you know, somebody put me on the spot while they were visiting for Thanksgiving. They went home before Thanksgiving. They said, we want to get your Christmas present. Now, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I don't really want anything. Well, what do you need, but you haven't bought yet? And after much scratching of my head and things like that, I did discover that there was one thing that I needed that I could tell them about, and they went and they got that, but it wasn't necessarily a want as much as it is a need. It, by spending that little bit of money, it keeps me from having to go and spend a whole bunch of other money. We have been talking about how God delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses, who delivered them to the children of Israel so that the children of Israel would be delivered from evil. And I had a conversation with someone, and he said, you know, I think if we focus on the Ten Commandments, these are his words, I think that's a great place to be. And I was like, well, that's what I've been teaching on for quite a while on the radio. So we've come through about, you know, you're not supposed to bear false witness with your neighbor and things like that. So today we're going to start in on commandment number 10. And it says this: you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor. And I would say that if we asked the majority of Americans right now, you know, what does it mean to covet? We probably wouldn't get a whole bunch of people that would be able to answer that question. And so I want to tackle this situation from a relational standpoint here in Exodus chapter 20, also from what does it mean, and to let you know that this is not something that God commanded in order to create a void in our life. This was something that he commanded so that he could fill that space with something good. That's how we're going to conclude this study. But we're going to look at the various aspects. So I don't have nearly as much material on coveting here as I do on, you know, we were not supposed to bear false witness against our neighbor. But I will point out here that in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 17 here, that it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's male servant, your neighbor's female servant, your neighbor's ox, your neighbor's donkey, nor anything that belongs to your neighbor. This has to do with developing the right heart attitude towards our neighbors, towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's got to get the old, the ugly, the carnal things out of our heart in order for God to give us the agape, unconditional love for one another that we are supposed to have because we love Jesus. So let me start off by telling you what the meaning for the word covet is in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then we will begin to work through some of these issues. The Hebrew word means to delight in. To delight in. It is translated beauty or greatly beloved, to covet, delectable things, to greatly delight or greatly desire. It's goodly, or it's lust, or it's a pleasant thing, or a precious thing. And so what is being said here is that we are not supposed to position ourselves where we delight in taking that which belongs to our neighbor and appropriating it to ourselves. We are not supposed to lust after things that belong to someone else just because we want them. In America right now, we are in an extremely instant gratification state of society where we see it, we want it, we've got to have it. And, you know, just about every year you hear of news stories where somebody is in the Black Friday shopping line, somebody's got an item, they want that item, they don't want that other person to get the last one, they want the last one. And as a result of that, they end up getting into a fight, getting arrested, or even worse, people end up killing one another, all because they think that they are going to delight in that thing more than they are going to delight in their existence or their freedom or their life. Stuff is just that. It is stuff. It's temporary. The really important thing in life that we need to remember is our relationship with God in our relationship with our family and those that are around us. You know, we get emotionally attached to things when we need to remember that things are really just things. They can either be good or bad depending upon our heart attitude towards them. And so I remember hearing Joyce Meyer talk one time about how something that she owned, it was hers, and she really valued it, but the Holy Spirit spoke to her one day and said, I want you to bless someone with that. And she found, you know, what after, you know, some back and forth, that there was a great deal of satisfaction and joy that came from releasing. One of the things that I've always said is if you can release something, you have control of it. It doesn't have control of you. What happens with coveting is that there is something that attaches itself to our eyes. It attaches itself to our hearts. It attaches itself to our wallets. And we think that we have got to have that thing. And when that happens, it's really saying, I've got you. The devil is saying, I've got you now because there's something that you have in your life that you said, I can't live without this. Okay. Now, I will tell you this. My faith is something that I cannot live without. God gave to every person the measure of faith. And my mindset is if my faith is something that the devil deems so valuable that he's trying to attack it, destroy it, to steal it, to kill it, then it is valuable enough that I should be able to hold on to it. I ought to have the appropriate mindset. But I don't have to set my desire on something that belongs to another person, because that my provision is not going to be coming from them. My provision comes from God. Your provision comes from God. So we don't have to look at, say, well, look at all that they've got. You know, a lot of people that end up getting charged with embezzlement, they have the mindset, well, my boss doesn't need this. My boss got plenty. Look how rich this company is. They're never, and they feel more entitled to it than what the actual owner of that item has. So to covet is to desire or delight in. It is believing or pursuing a fantasy rather than embracing reality. The fantasy being life is going to be so much better with that in my possession rather than it in their possession. And so there are people who lust after things that belong to other people. They treat them as precious, and they spend their entire time planning and scheming to see how they're going to be able to make what belongs to their neighbor theirs. I was talking to a person one time, and they were describing different mindsets of people in a geographic region. And one of them said, the mindset of that group of people is, what is yours will soon be mine. What is yours will soon be mine. And I'm sure that's an overgeneralization, but there are a lot of people who operate with that mindset. You know, retailers are looking for a way to separate you from your finances because they think they need your finances more than you need your finances. And if the way that they do that is they try and create a desire in you that says, you need this more than you need the money. And that's fine as long as the finances are good, but there's going to come a time where money may be more necessary for you than that thing, and so you need to be wise in your finances. In the New Testament, the word that is translated thou shalt not covet, when Paul says, you know, these are the things that the law says, it means to set your heart upon or to long for rightfully or otherwise. And so let me take you back to Exodus chapter 20 and put it in that very easy to understand. You shall not set your heart upon your neighbor's house. You shall not set your heart upon your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your heart upon his servants or his farming equipment. You shall not set your heart upon anything that belongs to your neighbor, because you have already supposed to have set your heart upon God and developed the attitude that says, I love my neighbor more than I love my neighbor's possessions. So it means to covet or to desire, to feign or to lust after. So crave, lust, covet, desire, all of those different translations have the same basic mindset. So you have to look for the context. So you can either set your heart upon things that are good, or you can set your heart upon things that are bad. So I will tell you this about longing for things or lusting after things, and that is this. The things that you long for, the things that you lust after, will determine the level of lifestyle that you live. If a person has a craving for drugs more than anything else, then they don't mind doing horrific things to make sure that they get the drugs that they so long for. You know, Teen Challenge is a wonderful ministry as far as seeing people delivered from drug addiction or alcohol addiction or any type of addiction. But what they realized as they continued to develop that ministry from the times of the 1960s and 70s with David Wilkerson is this: unless the person who was addicted wants to be delivered, then there was no sense in them wasting anyone's resources or anyone's time, because they had to get the lusting for the substances out of the person's heart, and they needed to replace that with a hunger for Jesus that said, you know what, my hunger, my desire for God in my life is more than my desire for anything else. And when they got that right, all of a sudden, you know, they would see things like 80 to 90% success rate without relapse over, you know, X number of years. I've got people in that I know in ministry that at one point in time they coveted illegal substances, and now they long for Jesus. They take delight in Jesus, and all of those other things don't have near the hold on them that they had before. It goes on, the definition goes on, it says, to desire to have what belongs to others. This is really an expression of discontentment in the provision and the timing of that provision with God. And God says, I don't want you fixated on what belongs to another. So what you do is you celebrate with people who are celebrating, and you mourn with people who mourn, and you say, you know what? I'm here to be a blessing to that person in their season. I am not here to be a threat to that person in this season of their life. If a person's being blessed, I mean, one of the most dangerous things that ever happens in many people's lives is winning the lottery. Because now, all of a sudden, if they... Let me put it to you this way. If you can't handle money wisely when you have very little of it, you're not going to be able to handle money very wisely when you have a whole bunch of it. And when it becomes known that suddenly you have a great deal of money, then you are going to be surrounded by people who are wanting to separate you from your money as quickly as possible. So you will have relatives that you've never known before who are contacting you and saying, listen, I know people right now who have lots and lots of money, but somebody else has more money, and rather than them spending their own resources, they're looking to that person to come and help them out financially, even though they're already extremely wealthy. This is what else the lexicon had to say. It said, the covetous man is often cruel as well as grasping, while the avarice man, or the very greedy man, is miserly and stinting. So you've got one, what it is, it's just varying degrees and the attitudes that go along with it. And so if you find yourself coveting your neighbor's house, what are you going to do? You are going to plan a way to do whatever is necessary so that you can take ownership of that property. And so you have all sorts of identity theft and fraud that goes on, all the while they're trying to take possession of something that belongs to someone else. The greedy person just can't let it go. So coveting says, I've got to grab it. I've got to seize it. I've got to take it by force. I don't care what it does to the neighbor. I've got to have what belongs to them. The avarice person, the greedy person says, I know that my neighbor has a need, and I know that I've got the ability to meet that need, but I'm not going to do that because then I might be at a loss myself. I can't afford. There are a lot of people who never step out in love because they don't understand that whatever God is able to pass through you, He's got more to come. God is our provider. God is the source of your provision. And best I can tell, His business is not threatened at all. His ability to provide has not diminished. There are seven plus billion people on the planet right now. And you know what God says? I can be the faithful provider for each and every one of those. And so today, I don't want you to fixate on what belongs to other people. I want you to rejoice in what God has provided. David, when he was getting ready to go face Goliath, you know what he said? He said, Saul, your armor doesn't fit me. Saul was one of the tallest people in the kingdom. David, probably not quite as tall in stature. And so what David didn't need what belonged to Saul. David needed what God had in store for him in order to bring the spiritual victory that he was facing at that point in day, or that point in time. So today I want you to lift up your eyes from comparing yourselves with the Joneses, trying to keep up with the Joneses, and saying, hey, how can I keep up with God? How can I grow? How can I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto me? And so provision in our lives best comes not from coveting what our neighbors have, but humbling ourselves and seeking the face of God and saying, God, I know this, whatever I have need of, you're going to provide it, and it's going to be a good and perfect gift for me, not going to be a good and perfect gift for somebody else that I look at and say, you know what, I need that more than they do. Let's fulfill the desire of God and deliver ourselves from coveting today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Thank you
program.
For tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.